Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. It's A Good Story is a Good Story, and I'm Marcia Casper Cook. And I am here with a great, really good guest today, and we have so much to talk about. So I'm going to talk just for a few seconds and tell you a few things, and I want to thank everybody for listening and keeping this show featured. So we're really happy with that, Virginia and I. And I will just say a few things. For tomorrow, it's story time is going to be great. We've got some really good authors, and J.D. Holliday is the host, and it's a really fun show for the children, and it only lasts about 12 minutes, but the kids really love it. Then Monday, Virginia has a show at 1 o'clock, and Tuesday, I have a show, and I have not done a show like this in a while. We're going to talk about children's books. We haven't done those in a while. We've been doing romance, we've been doing other guests, and we've been doing a lot of different things. And Fran Lewis has a show on Thursday, and she has Ray Ann Thine, and she has Haywood Smith. And then Iris Johansson, I think, is after that. So we got a lot going on here, but I'm not going to talk too much today myself. We have a guest here. Her name is Haley Casser Jane, and she is a blog talk host. She is the ultimate interviewer, and we're going to have a really great show because she talks as much as I do. That's a good thing. So we will just keep going, and I'm happy I don't have to tell her exactly what to do if something should happen, because as we all know, sometimes we lose callers, but we call right back. So Haley knows this. Hi, Haley. How are you?
Hi there, Marcia. How are you?
You have so much to talk about because you are doing so many things. I mean, you know, I'm like sleeping compared to you, I think.
Yeah, like a type A personality. Yes, just call me what I am. Type A personality.
But listen, that's how we are. You know, what can you do? You know,
you are what you are, right?
I know. You have your show. You want to tell everybody just a few things about you. You have your time. You have the same time usually, don't you? I don't.
We are. We're on Wednesday afternoons every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on the Blog Talk Radio Network, the Haley Casser Jane Show, talk radio for fine minds. And we also have a new show called QA3, which is an overtime aspect of our show, which is, you know, I do a lot of theme stuff, Marcia.
Yes, I know.
And sometimes, you know, we get people who don't quite fit into the theme, or we didn't have time for, but we think there's somebody worth having.
Right.
And we are pre-recording them to run after the show, so that you can get an added X, you know, plus. It's called QA3, and if you go to our regular show page, you'll see it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I sometimes have about six people on when I do romance shows. We do horror stories. You know, we do a lot of that. I do that also. It is difficult sometimes, but I'm sure for you, because some people, you know, they don't want to talk that much, and this way, this is a good intro for them to come in with other people.
Well, I'll tell you something funny. Like last week we did it, and it was supposed to be a 15-minute interview with a wonderful woman named Marion Ingram, who is a Holocaust survivor.
Yes.
And it wound up being, like, I think it was like almost 2 hours.
Wow.
And once she got going, I said, look, even if I cut it down later, this is history. This woman is fascinating. I was riveted by her story, by her book, which is fabulous. You guys ought to go and listen to that show.
It's a good one. And I think I did post it, actually, and I will post it again because we're getting into the time of remembrance.
Right, exactly. This Sunday in Israel and in Jewish communities, they do celebrate Holocaust Remembrance Day. And I think this is a story. And I want to tell you something. It's not depressing. It's extraordinary.
Well, you know what's interesting, though? You know, which I just told you before, which you didn't really know, that I wrote a Holocaust survivor story. It was with Sala Lewis, and it's called To Life now. It's called To Life. I had changed the name. And it's interesting because you didn't know that. And I was listening to the show, and I'm thinking, because this is so important now, because all the survivors are in their 80s now. And this is why we're lucky to have people that will be talking about this right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you and I both have that same feeling, which is, you know, we either have to record it for the future because we can't forget. It's a responsibility the world has.
Yes, Steven Spielberg, thank God he did that. And, you know, it's interesting, though, because I've gotten some reviews. You know, I've mentioned this before. Somebody had said something. I talk a little bit about her personal life because she was a lot about that, actually, because she was a model and everything else. But somebody had given me a review, and they said they didn't like the fact of one part of her story that she did with her daughter. She didn't invite her to a wedding. And so, I mean, this is the truth. This is her story. So you can't, like, people...
You can't edit the story to make it for everybody to be the way they want the life to go. Yeah, right, absolutely.
I know, I get this, you know, and it's like, these are, every Holocaust survivor has their own story.
Absolutely.
They know what they say, and like when she goes on stage, when she's in the Holocaust Museum, she talks, and she talks the story just like I wrote it. And I wrote it because she was young at 10, so we started it at that age. But I can't change her story. And it's like, I think people think you can change it. You can't. It is what it is. And that's her story. She was 10. You know, when they're very young, and, you know, they had to be adults, actually, by the time they were 10, and, you know, at that time. And Marion, she must have been that same age.
She was,
because,
too. She,
yeah.
When the war broke out, I think she was 8. That, needless to say, and she had actually written down a lot of what was happening because that was keeping her sane and alive during all of it. So she had it recorded.
She actually kept notes.
She did. She did. But you know, like Anne Frank wrote a diary. I mean, I think a lot of people turned to
Because I know that Selah was in the same camp, Bergen-Belsen, and she says she calls her Annie, but she didn't know her there. Because who knew she was going to be in? You know what I mean? She's right in it with her. They were at the same camp, but she didn't know who that was.
Right. So you know, it's interesting because Marion did not. Marion actually escaped being in a camp, which is what made her story even more compelling. Because for there were so many people. There's a story. There's a movie that's coming out about a family. 28 Jews, and I think they might have been in the Soviet Union, well, Russia at the time, and they hid for 2 or 3 years or something, and I'm just remembering, I saw this either on the network news, and I saw it on a website today, they hid in a cave. Those kind of stories we don't know as much, and the same thing with what happened to her, she hid in a garden shed.
When you really think about it.
Oh, my God, right? Oh.
And, you know, and people want to know, they are strong. I mean, Selah is a strong, strong person, you know, because they were taught never to be sick. They couldn't be sick. They couldn't do anything. I mean, they had to go and work. They had to do whatever they had to do.
Right.
And there was no time to sit around being sick.
Right.
You know,
on my website, I was so
Want to
moved.
Say your website? Why don't you just say your website?
I am going to say it in a second. Yeah. I was so moved by her and her story that I couldn't flush it. I couldn't get it out of me for like 24, 48 hours. And I actually wrote a piece on my website, which is HallieCaster-Jane.com, on the blog part of our
I'll pull
huge
it out,
website
on my site I'll
about calling her an angel. And I don't want to say it on air. Just go to the website and read the story because I could never do it.
I'm going to tell you, you know, it's interesting.
You could tell it was from my heart.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. When I did Selah's story, I went to her house every day. I thought it was a good idea. I did it many, many years, about 10 years ago. And I went to her house every day, and we talked about everything, and I had no idea. Even though that I was Jewish, I did not have any idea of really, I mean, because she was just telling me the whole story just the way it was. I'm sitting there with a box of Kleenex. She's giving me the Kleenex. It's very hard to hear from the person themselves. That's why you had that happen to you, because this is true, and this is the words of the person, Marion. She was saying it to you. So,
well, you know what was interesting to me? I was absolutely riveted by her. So, I said this in that piece, that 2 minutes into the interview, we weren't talking to the audience. We were talking to one another.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting thing. I tell you what, you know, you wear many hats, as you know, when you're interviewing, as you are right now. You're watching the board. You're listening to me. You're looking at your notes.
Right.
I mean, people don't realize really what goes into doing a radio show. And I just absolutely had to stop it all and just focus just completely on her. I was fine in that. It was afterwards.
Yeah. Well, that's like when I go, I always say it like when Selah goes to speak, I go like, I don't think I want to go. And then when I go, it's just like I'm hearing it for the first time. You know,
I was a war correspondent, and somebody once asked me, how do you do that? You know, how could you be in the midst of all of that? What? And you know what? It's the same thing as doing a radio show in a way, which is you really split your personality, and you're off in another place. You're observing, and you're away from it.
You know, it's like a lot of times, you know, even when you're writing a book, it's, you know, sometimes when I go back to it and I go, like, I said, what was I thinking at that time? Because the way I feel when I write it is sometimes different than when I'm reading it like a year or two later. I'm going, like, I wonder where my head was when how I was, you know what I mean, how I got to that place. And you don't ever sometimes know that. That's probably how actors do it. You just don't know how you get there sometimes because it's emotional a lot of times, and you get there. And, you know, like listening to a lot of Holocaust survivors, when Steven Spielberg had that project, one of the women that was interviewing Sela, I mean, I don't know how this woman, she would sit there and listen to all these. She had like maybe 50 or 60 people to interview. Can you imagine? I mean, that's got to be, I can't even imagine.
Well, I think you do get detached. You have to detach emotionally from it during the interviewing. How it leaves you thereafter
is
forever changed. There's no question.
Her mother was a survivor, so I don't know how she got through it. I mean, because she knew about it, but I guess that's why she was doing the interviewing. She could handle it, but, you know, it's tough. You know, but I think that, you know, most things are true. Like when I've had some guests on and some of their stories. I mean, when it's nonfiction and it's true, I mean, you are, you know, you can't help it. You have feelings. You know, even on TV, when I see certain movies that really affect me, even if I see the movie five times, I'm going, like, I'm not going to cry. I'm fine. And then as soon as that part comes on, I start crying. And I'm going, like, all right, forget that. Because it just hits you, whatever it is, you know, because there are, you know, we got to be lucky some days, you know, because there's so many bad things that can happen. You know, and we're in Chicago, so lately it's here. Oh, my God, there's so much going on here. It's like I'm thinking, don't tell everybody all the things that go in Chicago. Nobody's going to want to come here. You know, it's like the Wild West, you know.
Well, the whole world is in shambles at the moment, I think. Yeah, it's not a good time for the world, that's for sure.
Well, that's why we just try to have a good time on the shows and try to talk about other things because, you know, it is true. You know, there's so many things, you know, and I was looking back at all the things that you do. I mean, you really do interview, like, almost everybody. I mean, but you have some very fun interviews, too, with Jack Lemmon's son and, oh, my God. You know, it was so cute, though, that they were on together, you know.
I have to tell you, that was so much fun. I did the celebrity children, and I did it from a number of point of views. And we had on Maren Hopper, who was Dennis Hopper's daughter, and she is adorable and delightful. And we had on Chris Lemmon, who, of course, is Jack Lemmon's son, who is the spitting image and the personality.
Yes.
And we had on Charlie Matthau, Walter Matthau's son. I have to tell you what, that was such a funny show. To book them, first of all, because, you know, they were reticent. I don't have to tell you, you know.
Yeah,
oh, my God, what do you want to know?
I know.
So there was that. But, you know, each of them inherited something very powerful from the parent.
Well, look who
and
the
that
parents
is
were.
What,
wow.
When it became fun.
Yeah.
And if you listen to it, they are each their parents' child.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, and this cracked me up, I mean, Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon were actually very, very good friends. And the boys grew up, you know, as good friends. They were like almost like
they were what a duo. What a duo those guys were. Oh, my God.
Charlie Matthau, I mean, so funny, so reticent. I think on that show I kept saying, and the reluctant Charlie Matthau, because
you know, years ago,
he was freaking out.
Ago, you know, yeah, because he's, you know what, his father, they're just, I mean, you know, their movies will stand out forever. The two, oh, my God. I mean.
Right. But you know what this really was about, the children. And you know, Charlie Matthau, by the way, has a great film out called Freaky Deaky. And y'all should look that up. And Lemon Kid goes, one of the great piano players of all time. And he's got a show that's going to be on Broadway.
Right.
And these kids got their father's talent. But, you know, they have to live in the shadow of the parent.
Well, these are tough ones, though, because these are really, I mean.
Well,
you know,
like, you know, there were others who have done it and have gotten through. Like, I think it was Charlie who, or was either Charlie or one of them said, you know, nepotism in this business is the only time it's bad.
Yeah.
You know, if you're the son of a banker, it's a great thing if you go to work in the bank for your daddy, right? But you're not allowed to become an actor because your father was an actor and a famous actor.
I'll tell you, it is strange, because they were kind of like the two of them. I mean, they did so many different roles. I remember I had a screenplay that I had written, and it was about, it's called The Deli, and Hello Deli. And so I had talked to a production company, because I'm an agent also, so I talked to a production company, and they suggested I changed it to a man. It was a female character. It was a grandmother, and they said, make it for Walter, okay? And then we'll try to get it to him, okay? So, and that was right before he died. I changed the entire script because, and I remember because he died at that time, because I remember, sending a card, and I never had talked to his son, but I never talked to either of them, but
You still have the script?
Yeah, yeah.
Send it over to Charlie.
Yeah. Well, I should probably. I probably should. You're right. He was so. When I wrote the script, then I went, oh my God, this was so. It was so perfect for him, because sometimes when you change a character, it's really hard.
Telling you, send it over to him. In fact, my idea to them was, why don't they do The Odd Couple on stage?
Yeah. That would be
why has nobody gotten the two of them to do
could.
That?
I mean, because they.
They were a comedy routine on my show, so y'all have to go back and listen to that one.
To your show, you could feel like it was almost them on the show.
Couldn't tell. The voices are exactly the same.
Yeah,
They do their dads, and they do each other's dads very, very, very well. Anyway, that was a fun show. I got a kick out of that myself.
I mean,
that made me laugh.
You have a lot of good shows. I mean, that's how I found you. I mean, honestly, because you interview so many people. I mean. Dignitaries, your Israeli show. I mean, you have everything going on here, and that's a lot. It's hard because I know what you're doing here, and it's hard because you've had so many different types. I do the same thing. A lot of people have everybody, the same people. I have different people because I like to do different subjects, and you apparently do the same because I...
Well, but we do appeal to a specific audience, though, I have to say, that despite the fact that the shows change in concept, like last week we did a show, Israelis on Israel, and we had the former ambassador, Yoram Ettinger, on, and we had the top writers in Israel, the top thinkers in Israel. Two of them had been worked with the Netanyahu administration. I have to tell you, though, but that show, sure, that was amazing, and that was, that was I do politics, but we're always appealing to it's talk radio for fine minds. And my thing, Marcia, is to elevate the conversation, because I'm so tired of the way we have down, we're just going down to the bottom, sinking to the barrel. When you go look at films today, they're appealing to the lowest common denominator, and I'm just not doing that. And what we found is that the higher I go and reach, the more listeners we get.
So people are clamoring for
really good, radio for fine minds.
You had Diane Ladd on, okay?
And I did.
And I had called her years ago because her daughter, she was always looking for projects. She answered the phone herself. I mean, that's the kind of person she is. And like,
she's a sweetie.
I love that. I thought it was great. I just love that series. I thought it was such a true, real series. I just really like Laura Dern and her in it. But, she was talking about Hollywood, and she did the same thing on The Talk. And I found it so interesting because she was just saying, there's so many actors out of work that people just think that because you're an actor, you make a lot of money, but a lot of them don't. And
well,
there's
this has never been. This is not anything new, by the way.
Right.
I started out way, 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 way back when acting, and I will tell you, it is a very tough thing. You have to know when you go into it, what you're up against, and most members of the Screen Actors Guild or any of them really don't work, or they work minimally, in their entire lives. But I love the fact that she's appealing to it. But you know what she was really appealing to, and it was a much larger scale, I thought, is, and, I pontificate, if you will, on my own show.
Okay.
I do, but I am just, we're in really bad economic times today.
Yeah.
And the whole world is in the same situation.
Yeah.
But here's what we do in America. We do everything right now that shoots us in the foot. Mm-hmm. And this is what China doesn't do. Here I am. Here I go pontificating again. So what I do is I wax eloquent about this one thing. Stop cutting funding in schools and making the first – if you have to cut funding, do not make the first thing that you cut –
Our books,
the arts,
and libraries, and all
the
stuff.
Arts. Yeah. The arts, because the arts are what make us creative and productive and teach people to think out of the box, and that is why America has been so great. We're not so great right now because about 20 years ago they started cutting the arts. When I went to school, you had art, you had music, you had, you know, all of that. They don't have that today. If they want it, it's after hours and they have to pay for it.
And it's an outlet for the kids. You can't, and they, you know what, in even as much as when my son was little, I hated recess. I used to get phone calls, you know, it's like, oh, my God. But the thing is, the kids need to have some outlet. They can't just sit there and do work. They have to have, like, either they have to have some activity, they have to watch a movie. They don't do that, and life has changed.
Well, what
so
they
much
do, though,
now.
Is they need to have their creativity spurred.
Yes,
and that's
do.
Basically
yes,
what she was talking about. And she's asked me to come on board and be on a board of an organization she's putting together to absolutely do this.
I've been an agent for like 15 years, and all these people that I had that had great scripts, they just left the business. You know, I'm still writing them, and I don't care. You know what I mean? I've been optioned, whatever. But this is the thing: there is so much good work out there that doesn't get seen because nobody wants to look at it.
And I don't even know that it's nobody wants to look at it. It's who you know is how you get there.
It's about
the
money.
Game.
It costs so much money to make a movie.
It's definitely about money. But Diane Ladd has an interview.
She's great.
It was a lot of fun, and she was quite forthcoming, and she was actually in tears. That same thing happened when I did Linda Evans. I interviewed her a few months ago, and I had her in tears. I don't know what I do to these women.
Well, I thought, you know what, I was reading about you, and she said she liked being on your show. She felt very comfortable on
Who
your
said
show.
That?
Linda Evans.
Oh, Linda! Linda has been terrific to me since that event. I have to say, she's darling. She is absolutely one of the sweetest people you will ever meet, and the most giving women you will ever meet. Absolutely. She does not. She knows where she came from, and if she can help you, you know, in return. She's there to help, and I have to say that
everybody felt that. I mean, honestly, you know, that's the other thing. I mean, I know that's why I get along with you because I'm listening to your show. You know, the truth is, I always feel like, you know, why can't people help each other? I mean, I don't understand this. What happened? Why we don't help each other?
There's such a competitive edge. It's a competitive edge. I think that's what gets in the way of it, and I think it comes from insecurity. If you aren't going to help somebody else, it's because you think they're going to take your slot. So I think that both of these women learned in their climb to the top. You know, first of all, don't tick anybody off on the way up because you might meet them on the way down.
Definitely.
That old saying. Mm-hmm. And I think that they also learned. You know, that they're first of all, both of them are very spiritual women.
Yeah. Yep.
That has a lot to say about who they are and what they're about. And I think that's what makes, at the end of the day, it's not the creeps who get to the top, by the way. It really is the good guys.
Yeah.
That's been my experience.
I really hope to believe that.
Yeah, that's been my experience.
True.
I mean,
I believe that also. And, you know, but, you know, with all the scripts and all the good books out there that could be movies, I mean, my opinion is, this is how I always thought, if writers, directors, actors, if they got together really to make a great project, we'd have so many great projects. It would be really, I mean, there'd be movies we could be so proud of that we're doing.
Well, they don't make projects anymore, my dear.
I know.
For the sake of great theater,
that's
they make it for the of how they're going to make their money back.
I know.
That's what they think about. They think about nothing else. Because the studios are no longer owned or even the independent, you know, companies.
Yep.
They're not getting their money from people who care about film. They're getting money from investors.
I know. I know that.
So they look at the bottom line.
I had an option on a film, and I opened Michigan Avenue Media, which is the name of one of my companies, to try to go out and get money. And then the economy was really bad. I go, I can't. There's no way. Who's going to give me money? I mean, you know, they're not going to give me money, even if they like the script, because it is already optioned, but it doesn't matter. I could have gotten a director, but it's so much money. And no one, you know, I'm not a sure thing. You have to be either. Nobody is a sure thing. See, that's one of the things. When I used to call production companies, they would go, "We'd like something like so and so." But like you don't know that a movie is sometimes going to be a success until the movie is out already. I mean, sometimes there's.
Some of them are getting into it to lose these days. I mean, there's that too. You know, I'll tell you what. You know, I am pitched for to come on my show. By the thousands every day now.
Yep.
And you know what? I tend to look at where are they from? Yeah. Are they self-published or are they, you know, published by one of the parents? And then I thought to myself, do not do this.
I know that. See, that's right.
Stop doing this. This is not fair. First of all, if you're smart, you're self-publishing anyway because you can't get any money from the big guys anymore unless you're at the very, very top.
That's,
but that's
really
not the point.
I
actually try and bring on every few weeks people who are not super well-known.
Yeah.
You know, I make them part of the mix because I think it's, why not?
I mean, I've had some of those have been my best shows. I've had people on that I really didn't know that much about, and then when I got off the, you know, the interview, I thought, oh, I really like them. I love them.
Right.
I mean,
first of all, people are people.
Yeah.
A celebrity is not a person. A celebrity is an image. There is a difference.
Yeah, because they're people too, though. That's the thing. They have a
Well, that's the point, and that's
right,
what they have
exactly.
to get to. So that, I think the good interviewer is the person who understands that, forget, you know, the gloss and the glamour and the glimmer and the shine.
Yeah,
get down to the person and to the heart and to the soul. And if you can get to that, you're going to get yourself a darn good interview, and which is what happened with both of those women, I think, that, you know, I got into who they were. And it was interesting. I have to tell you, this is a funny story, and I know you'll appreciate this. We do a lot of work on Facebook. You should go to my Facebook page. Your audience, because I have two. There's my personal, of course, and that's as crazy as anything. And then, of course, there's the Hallie Kasser, Jane, no hyphen, which is our fan page.
You know, I have 15 pages, which is ridiculous, and I started cutting stuff because my editor looks at my he helps me sometimes do. He goes, like, what are you doing?
No, I have different pages.
I have a lot of things.
But those pages, but somebody who had listened to the Diane Ladd interview said, she's a great interviewer. Well, thank you, whoever you are out there. But can she, can she get down to the nitty gritty, not down to the, but can she do a drive-by interview, thing? Meaning, can I be tough on Diane Ladd?
Well, why
now here's what my answer is. This is why I'm getting to here, because we're talking about interviewing.
Right.
Here's the answer. The answer is you can get people to say even more when you're not coming down on them with a hammer.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
See, like me. All right, this was not anything I intended on doing. I started out. I used to work in hospitals and doctor's offices. I was a lab tech. I used to take blood. That's what I used to do. Then I had an electronic business. I helped in my dad's business, and I've been a writer for years and an agent. And it's like, you never know what you're going to do in life. But I never thought I was going to interview. The first time somebody was on Facebook, they said, "Do you want to do a show? We're doing a Christmas show. Do you want to read 5 pages of your book or 6 pages?" I went like, okay, I'll do this, because I said, oh, try it. I was so nervous, okay, and I talk a lot, and I was thinking, how could I be? I was really nervous. So I read it. I'm editing out my book that's already done already, and it's been out, and I'm editing out some of the words, thinking, maybe I shouldn't say this, maybe I shouldn't. So I did it. I was really nervous, and then I never forgot that. And then I did a couple shows after that, and was called from Red River Writers, and she said, "Do you want to do a show?" I go, "I don't know. This is not what I ever thought I would do." So I started to do shows, and I always remembered, though, because that's why I do. If people have never been on a show, they can come on with other people, so they don't feel uncomfortable. I never want, and I would, I never have asked a guest anything, because I always say to them, "Is there something you don't want to talk about?"
Oh, I've done that. Oh no, there are sometimes I'll do that.
Every
interview is different, but I'm just saying
I wouldn't want.
Yeah, everybody has a different way of working,
right?
And I don't think that there's a pat formula, by the way, for doing this kind of thing, because
I think you have to
be able to.
They like you.
Be amenable to whatever comes up, and be also somebody who can, can be like, can move to the left, move to the right, stand up, sit down, whatever the fight is.
Well, more political issues, you deal in that, but from reading about everybody said about you, because you have that on your sites, and I think that's a good thing, because they feel comfortable, and that's a good thing, and they before they come on, they've looked at your things. Hopefully.
Well, I'm not out to ambush anybody, is my point.
Right, right.
I have had, discussions with people during shows when I thought that they were being stupid. That happens on occasion.
Well, that could be, right.
What do they say on my Facebook page? My publicist wrote, fearless, funny, I forget it, it was hysterical. I should go there now and look at it, because I cracked up and I said, yeah, you got me. I'm feisty. But most of the time I'm not.
But
you
that's,
know,
an, that's an okay thing to be that way. That's an okay thing because, you know, I mean, you don't want to just...
Oh, no, I'm... No, but Marcia, am I apologizing for being feisty?
No, you're not.
Not going to happen.
Right, because you have really good... Like, even in what you're doing in the Israeli show, all the shows that I've heard so far, that's what I told you before the show. I said I couldn't listen to that many more of your shows till I were done today because I kept thinking, oh, this we should talk about. That we should talk about, and this we should talk about, because, you know, you do a lot of interviews. And so I'm going like, oh, this is a good thing. And that, and but it was funny that the last ones I've heard had something like with the Holocaust. You had no idea that I did that, you know, had written a book about the Holocaust. So, I mean, a lot of the things that you discuss are things I'm interested in. And so it's funny that how you meet people. But that's one of the things about Facebook. Look, nobody likes the social media if it's bad. But the good thing about it is I am meeting people and you are meeting people that we probably never would have ever met.
Oh no. I think it's a great thing. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I mean, I've had good things happen on Facebook, and I've had bad things.
Kids,
we all have.
Right.
But by and large, it's a wonderful way to meet people. And I'll tell you what, I've become very close friends, and I do mean literally friends, with people. Some people I've met on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, not just cyberspace, but, you know, been in person and what have you. Friends of friends have introduced me to people. Some of my gigs that I get, some of the people, you know, bookings that I get through Facebook and why not?
Yeah, because, you know, but once people know that you're not going to, you know, ambush them, they'll come on because, you know, you want to have a good interview and you want to have a good time and, you know, it's fun. Like, okay, in our chat room, I don't usually do the chat room that much because it's, you know, I try to talk to my guests. So anyway, Fran Lewis is in and I have become friends with her. We talk all the time on the phone and then,
right.
You know, I mean, and this is how it is. You become friendly with people in a good way because we have a lot in common.
Well, Blog Talk Radio, and let's talk about Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Blog Talk Radio is a social network, and I think that a lot of the people on the network don't get that.
Yeah.
And a lot of the listeners that you're pulling in are actually 1 or 25 or 7,000 or 150,000 of the people who are actually belong to the network.
Yep.
And that's a lot of your audience.
Oh, it's a lot of people. And you know what? I have learned so much from being on the radio, and as far as some of the guests I've had, I mean, certainly some of the writers, because so many people have different techniques, and sometimes you go, oh, that might work.
Oh, for sure.
We talk a lot about marketing because it's hard. You know, marketing is horrible. Everybody hates it, and we all have to do it. And the thing is that everybody has, sometimes someone will come on and they have a little thing, I go like, you know what, why didn't I think of that? It's a great thing, because you never know, you know, and all of these things work out to help people. I think the blog talk is a great thing, and I think so many people are on it now. I think when I first started my shows, people go like, oh, fine, blog talk, whatever. But now they go, oh, really? Because there's so many people on blog talk, celebrities, I mean, political people. A lot of people are on, because if you go on a TV show and you have, let's say, a book, they give you maybe 7 minutes, or maybe, I don't even know if you have that much time, you know. And when you're
trying
to
find the show that's going to put you on when you have a book, unless your name is, you know.
Yeah, right. That's true. But if they get on a show, let's say they were on in it. Sometimes I'm thinking like, oh my God, look how they're rushing them off, you know. But on a radio show like this, they get an hour, they get whatever time you give them, and it's a straight interview.
It's interesting when I have writers on though. I don't do what you do. I know what, you know, I've listened to some of the stuff that you guys have done, and particularly the old days when you were on Red River and stuff like that. We bring writers in, and we get, you know, we've had some pretty fine writers on my show. But what we do, I package them differently than most people do. So that I'll take, I remember Johansson was on, and we did a thing with two other writers on that. And we did it about, I don't remember per se, but this is what we would do, mystery writing. Or I had two books come out, one by the guy who won, you know, the top awards for his book on the Beatles, and I forget who else. There were two others. Oh, and we packed that in Julia Child, Barbra Streisand, and who was the third one? Audrey Hepburn. Uh-huh. So we did celebrities.
Oh. When you
Now that's because what I have found is if I bring a writer on to talk about just their book,
Yep.
And not in the scope of it all, nobody wants to listen.
Right. But, you know, but it depends who it is. Now, you know, let's
say, if you want to listen, that's more
right,
accurate.
Right, right, right. But, right. So that's one of the reasons I have maybe four or five, six people on, because we just have a discussion and fun, because I think sometimes, you know, their writers were promoting their book, but nobody wants to hear. We just start talking about other things, because I don't have set questions, neither does Virginia when she.
No, you do. You just do straight conversation.
Yeah.
I get
yeah,
that. Yeah,
do,
I mean,
right, right.
I work off of a very tight script.
Yeah.
Not that I always stick to it, but nine times out of ten I do. I research myself. The only thing that my staff will do for me on occasion is, you know, they'll do some of the back stuff, but they'll get it to me to read. My job is to get the background, put it together. I write my own scripts. My associate producer goes over and tries to clean them up. But I do that stuff, and I do work off of a very, very tight script.
I talk to my guests first. I like to, because I like to feel like that I know them. You know, like I
yeah,
feel
no,
like
it's style.
When you talk,
it's style.
You know,
right, sure.
Right, right. And I feel like, you know, then I don't want them to be nervous on the show. So that's one of the reasons I do that, because I want them to see I'm a regular person. I mean, I'm just like everybody else. I'm nothing, you know, I'm doing the laundry like everybody else does, you know, and things like that. But, you know, and I've been doing this for a lot of years, and I really know how hard this is. I mean, I just know I don't give up. I mean, I have like 11 scripts. I have books out there, but I won't give up because I don't want to. You know, but I really want people to keep writing, because if they're writing, we can't stop writing because people give you a rejection. You have to keep going. You know,
well, with writing, you know, I've done a number of books.
Yes, I know.
You know,
you've
I've done
everything. I think
I haven't done everything.
Have.
There are a couple of things I still have left to do, just a
right.
few. But I mean, I wrote this book on Obama, "You're in My Pajamas with President Obama," and that was a compendium of columns that I was doing for papers all over the place during the 2008 election. When I'm doing that, that was all that I was doing. I was living, I was breathing, I was dying. Okay, I wrote a book called Mambo, which is available on Amazon.
Yeah.
It's only in ebook form. Conversation, and that was out of being a reporter in a war zone in Central America. That book, again, I stopped to write that book, and everything else was kind of on hold. I did the book on Antietam because I go back and forth, I think, you know, between writing fiction, nonfiction, and photography,
right.
And radio or whatever. And that book, that took me almost 5 years to do, but I was running around on the Battle of Antietam, which is a Civil War battlefield. I was running around the battlefield with all the guys dressed, you know, in their Civil War stuff. And that was fun. So I can go really, really, really in. And right now I have a new book that we're finally, I think, going to put out. We're working with a house right now to see if we can cut a deal on it, called Scout Finch's Diary. That was another one. I wrote that within a year. And I focused completely on writing that book. I was doing an earlier radio show at that time, too. But for all intent and purposes, I was just focused on writing. Writing is a strange, you know what that does.
Yes,
and now I don't get to do it the way I want to do it, because the show has taken up so much of my life that when I write, you know, it's PR stuff. It's not real.
Right.
It's not. I don't get to be the creative writer that I like, you know, to do.
Well, that's one of the problems for most of the writers that are on the show, because, you know, most people don't make a lot of money on their books, and a lot of them have to have regular job, and, you know, it takes away from their writing, because you cannot only do so
right.
much, you know. And
right.
people, you
I wish that were it. With me, it's just, you know, the show took
right.
off, and who
the
knew?
Show, yeah. You just don't know. You know, honestly, I'll go like this. Okay, I'm going to put in my shows for the month, you know, because we all do this. I'm thinking like, oh, it's going to take me 10 minutes. I'm going like, oh, right. Whenever I say 10 minutes, it's like 4 days, because I find something else, and I'm looking at it, then I'm looking the people up I want, like you do. I mean, I don't have notes, but I do want to know what they do, because, you know, a lot of times some people, it's unusual, because they'll write a book, but they do something very unusual that nobody would even think they do. So I think I enjoy that, to find out. I've always been that way.
Well, you're a people person, that's clear. I mean, what
well,
you seem to enjoy and what you do so well
do,
is you're
it,
just you, and
you know,
you're great at talking to people.
But you should see my husband, though. When we're in every restaurant, okay, I'm friends with all the waitresses. They sit down with us, the host, and he's going like, okay, you know, and he says, you know, because, and he's gotten used to it. I mean, we're married so many years, but it's so funny because I do. And, you know, I really like to talk to people because I learn so much from everybody.
Oh, are you kidding? I think people are the best.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to tell you something else that I've learned in doing the Hallie-Kasser Jane Show, which, you know, again, airs Wednesdays, guys, at 3 p.m. Eastern. You know what I've learned the most? It's not what people say. It's the silence in between.
Yeah.
Barbara Taylor Bradford. Here's a great story.
Yeah,
I don't know. That was way back when. I did this interview with her for, I think it was an hour. I love this woman to death and her husband. They're great, great people. But I did this interview with her, and you'll get a kick out of this story because, you know, a straight interview. She had a new book coming out. In fact, she's got another new book that just pitched me the other day. But P.S., Barbara and I are just get into this, and we just hit it off, and we get into this conversation. And at the end of the interview, the thing that I was curious about with her is because her husband's very powerful in her life. I mean, he produces her films.
I was going to say he produces.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bob is just
right.
everywhere. And I said to her, and she didn't have any children in her life. She and I both have, or Bijons, and her dog, who she just lost, has the same name as my dog, Biji, one of my dogs, Biji. So we were talking about that or whatever, and I said, so Barbara, any regrets? I said, if you had it to do over again, which would you pick? Would you pick, if you had to make a choice, your husband or your career?
Oy. That's a question. Whoa. All right.
Should I not give the answer of what she gave to me? Y'all can go listen to the interview. No, I'll tell you. There was this long silence.
Yeah.
And she deliberated. Yeah. And it was in that deliberation that she gave her answer.
Yeah.
That's why I said with interviewing people, yeah, you call me the great interviewer. I don't know how great an interviewer are, but some of the things that I learned along the way.
The ultimate,
yeah. It is just that. You know, it's not always getting people to say things. It's what they don't want to say that sometimes is so much more important.
Yeah, I'm shocked sometimes when I hear stories. And, people's lives are very complicated. And sometimes you see someone. I remember my grandmother said, you know, she always used to say something, and I've always lived by this in my head. She would always say, don't look at what somebody has because they might have something bad. You don't want to get jealous of them because you're looking at them and you're saying, like, oh, their life is better than mine. Because you just don't know, right?
You just don't know. How would anybody know?
No, and I always, you know, I have a little character called Emelina. She's in one of my little books. It's called No Clues, No Shoes. And that's probably the closest to me that any character I have. None of the characters resemble me except for the one that this little girl, she talks all the time and she has a dog that tells her to stop talking. I think I need that a lot. I told my husband, I said, I need a little dog to stop me from talking. But she her life focuses on a lot of things that her grandmother said because mine was from Russia, but she was unbelievable. She was, you know, the strength of her, but she would tell me that don't look at other people, don't want to be what they have because you don't know what they have. And that's the truth. You can look at someone and they could have such trauma in their lives. So you can't be jealous of what they have because you don't really know what they have. They might, you know what I mean? It's not good. So I just go by the things that she taught me, and it helps me even in my writing because I just kind of remember those things, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know that you listened to the interview with Diane, and you know that she lost a child. And I know most people don't know that.
Yeah.
She lost a child in the most horrible way, you know, at a year and a half in her pool in probably the first house that she had made any money that they could afford. And the child walked out, got through many doors.
Mm.
And whatever, and that's when she cried when she was telling the story.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to me because when you have, she doesn't talk about it.
Well,
what do you do there? You know, do you let it go, or do you follow it? And I just felt, you got to follow it. It's part of her life.
Yeah.
It's part of the makeup of who she is.
Well,
it's
she
part
already
of who
said
she
it,
as
yeah.
an actress
yeah.
probably brings into her roles. You know, it's pretty extraordinary. And I have to say, she went with me on it, which was so surprising.
Yeah.
I was shocked. But again, there you go. If you like people, you don't have to badger them to get them to talk about it. And your friends.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, your friends talking.
Yeah, you know, and I once had an idea that I was going to, you know, take down women's stories, you know, and they were going to come to my house and I was interviewing them and I had no idea what I was about to hear. So I didn't do it. I stopped the book because I felt like I felt like when they started crying, if they were abused or something, I had no idea. And I thought, like, I don't think I'm equipped to handle this if they get too far, because they were telling me things. I didn't want to go that deep. I didn't have any idea. I knew some of these people. And I went, I don't think I can do this because they're telling me everything And what if they really get too upset? I am not a psychologist, so I thought like this was not going to be a project because they just were. You never know what someone's going to say, and so it's tough because some people have had very tough things happen to them, which is why when you went on with her, she probably felt comfortable enough to talk about it.
Well, you have to. I mean, that's part of the art of conversation is an art. That's the tagline.
But I think she's a very real person because I've seen, you know, even when she's doing her roles, she's a very believable actress and a really good one. And because whatever role she plays, she just fits, you know. And even when she did the role with her daughter and The Enlightened, I love this show. And I don't know if it's coming on.
No, it wasn't. It was canceled, and I'm sick of it.
You know, and I just loved it.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, it was
canceled.
Yeah.
Which is just too bad.
It was good because you know
it was it was not good. It was great. I mean,
it was
unusual and
very
phenomenal, and brilliantly written. And this Michael White will go far, far, far. And Laura, of course, you don't have to worry about her; she'll be fine too. But
that
was just one of the more unusual
fault.
And for some reason, they couldn't get. You know, HBO can be so weird. You know what they want to promote, they promote the heck out of. But sometimes they just don't do their job.
Because that one had a lot. There's so much depth to that story,
and it's so human. This story was such
God.
A true.
You know,
such
she
a
just
story.
Wanted a world to be a better place. That's basically what she wanted. And
well, she was the good egg, and the rest of the world
I
was
know.
Not.
I know.
That
and,
was the
know,
irony of it.
Oh, she was so good in this. I mean, that's the thing. You never know what TV. You don't know. And that's why when they're looking for a good project, they don't know. You have to wait to see. And some of the projects that some of the shows have been on that are great, they go off. And I really like them. You know, and sometimes I'm thinking, like, what is going on here with some of these shows? I'm thinking there's characters that are not even nice. And you're thinking, what's going on? There's no redeemable qualities. And usually, as a writer, you want somebody to be redeemable. You know, even like, I mean, one of my favorite characters was always Dallas because I just thought they were so real. And I thought that there was nobody, J.R. was always in character, no matter what, but he always loved his family. So if it was one thing that he had good was that it was about his family. His mother or whatever. And he had a redeemable quality, even though he was doing bad things. So I loved him. And I think the show now, they're trying to do that with the other people. They're at a, you know, but I'm finding it when I'm watching it, it's coming around. But I hope they give that time. See, they don't give a lot of time, which you know. But they got to give this one time because people got to get adjusted to this.
Yeah, I haven't been able to appreciate that. I happen to have known Larry Hagman. He was a very good friend of mine.
Yeah.
And
for you,
and so
it's difficult.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, when the first, you know, he was in the original show and I loved it. But what I the second generation didn't do it for me. I don't think the casting was good on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
but
it
you know
bothered
what? I'm
me.
I'm getting used to it now because.
And that's what people are telling me. But
now,
I don't know. You know, sometimes
know
it's better to leave things.
I
mean,
I
times change.
I always talk about him because when I'm talking about somebody, I feel all the way through Dallas, his character. I've never seen a character like it that would they had him perfect and he never disappointed you because it was always and now sometimes you can't even tell these characters they do one thing then they do another but it was written great. But the son that the JR it is coming around. Are people telling you that? Yeah, I think it is coming around.
Yeah, I know people who are interested in it. To be honest with you, I wish I could get to watch half the things that I would want to watch. I don't get to
do. The DVR, it's like...
No way, yeah, that's why you say DVR, I just was telling you.
Oh, my God, I bet everything.
I got 400 shows and a DVR, and I've never gotten to one of them. I mean, are you kidding? I'm up to my eyeballs with all of this.
Well, see, because
so with the new show, I'm
going
to lose it altogether.
I know. I stay up late, okay? So then while I'm writing or something, in the back of me, I have it on because I like to hear things. And, I mean, there's so many shows that I want to watch, but there's no time. So we DVR. And then sometimes I have to play the show 3 or 4 times because I'm actually not listening, but I'm listening. You know,
I have room for Downton Abbey.
Yeah,
Homeland,
know. Oh, I love Homeland.
I love Homeland. I love Downton Abbey.
Yeah, I have
you know, there are certain shows that I just absolutely go nuts off or whatever. So if you could interview anyone, I'm asking you questions now. Whose show is this?
That I, you know what, I don't, I'm happy to interview everybody, you know, because I, okay, if you could interview someone that you have interviewed all different kinds, what type of, what would you look for that you haven't, because you've done a lot of interviews of every type of person.
There are two people who I want to get to, and I actually know one of them and have talked at great length with one of them, but I haven't gotten them on air yet, and that's former President Bill Clinton.
Yeah,
and
he's so interesting. Oh my God!
To know this man is to love him even more. He's just a fascinating, wonderful guy, and you know, I've been with him. I've had, you know, dinner with him, but I have never gotten him on my show. I'm going to do that before.
Yeah, I'm sure he
one of us croak.
You know why? Because he likes to talk.
Oh, he does. He does. But you know, I'm just a little talk show host on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Like, he's got time for me. But
well,
I mean,
he knows about everything.
He and Hillary, I would
that,
love to interview.
Oh,
because,
she's incredible.
But together. Yeah. They haven't done a whole lot of interviews together that I can even think of. And in the acting world, who would I want? Maggie Smith.
Oh God,
probably.
It's so good. Oh my God, I know. Every movie that she does.
Whatever she does, she does, and she's just Maggie.
It's unbelievable.
She's just Maggie Smith, kind of thing.
Did you see the quartet?
They're interesting people, but off the wall people that I want to interview.
Did you see the quartet? That movie.
I did.
I thought it was great.
Now, there you go.
See, I loved it.
There you go. There's fine filmmaking.
Oh, my God.
Risk-taking because you're dealing with old people. So, although Hollywood is getting smart. Watch in the next 6 or 8 months.
Yep.
They finally have figured out that the money is no longer in the hands of the 18 to 35-year-olds. It's in the baby boomers.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
You know what? You
so
know,
they're
I
starting
just,
to appeal to the baby boomers, and they're making much better films.
Oh,
so in the
God.
Next six months or 8 months, you're going to see, and the next year, all these wonderful things. And that was what that was.
That was
I love that
I mean,
movie.
Oh, my God. You know, and in the other
And I
one,
also wouldn't mind retiring to that place.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's pretty good.
Right?
Right.
With a bunch
that
of musicians in that gorgeous estate.
Yep, it was beautiful. You know, and they
oh
showed that
God.
Shot. It was gorgeous. You know, and I think this is what we need. We need, because I actually write scripts with all different age groups, because I think you need parents, I think you need grandparents to have a good, well-rounded script. It's you need to find out about, like, somebody just doesn't appear. Like, a lot of times in the shows, they go like, oh, they're appear, they don't talk about their parents. But they're starting to do that now. They had a new show on the other night Sarah Chalk. It was, you know, it's just about family. They're bringing in families because I think that's what's missing. You need to have feeling about a family member.
Well, I'll tell you what. What do you think of these reality shows?
Oh, you know what? Honestly, each time I think there can't be anything worse, there's another one.
I know.
And then I'm thinking it's just bizarre.
Like,
well, see, you know, I can't swim, so I'm watching TV. I don't want to watch people.
Are you watching the diving one?
I can't. I'm afraid of water. I can't swim, and I can't watch that because I am not watching that. I'm afraid, and I'm watching that. I'm thinking, oh, my God. You know, and I'm thinking, I can't imagine what happened to all. Well, there used to be movies. I mean, there's nothing on. I mean, and I watch some of the shows. I will say, you know, like, you know, I do like The Voice. It's a lot of fun, you know, and it's interesting. It's entertaining, okay? And it's music. It's fun. But I do think we could have some movies and something, you know.
We just have to get back to real programming with real, you know, whatever. But look, HBO and Showtime and a couple of the others are starting to get
it.
They're elevating the conversation, talk radio for fine minds. They're doing TV for fine minds. I think what's going to happen is that when the networks start to lose out to the big guy, you know, to the smaller guys, if you will, learn that they're starting to produce for themselves, like they did that great piece with Al Pacino on HBO last week.
Yeah, did you see it?
I did. I loved it. I mean, how could you not like Al Pacino in anything that he does?
Yeah, it was so good. I mean,
but the
script
was also wonderfully written, and I know that David Mamet was upset with some of it. He didn't think that they had followed the what, but I thought it was great.
I
want to tell you about a show we have on next week.
Okay,
can we talk about that?
Yes.
Because I have a very special show on, and I really, 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 really want everybody to listen to this show. And as far as everybody on Blog Talk Radio, I would like you each to talk about this show on your show. I'd like to raise money.
Okay.
A very, very, very old family friend on her 50th birthday was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer.
Oh, yeah.
The mother of five. And the entire family, including Jenny, are coming on my show. This is going to be radio. This is radio. This is true radio.
You know,
the
our
family, the mother, the father, one of the children.
You know, Virginia, the other half of World of Ink, she's interviewing a young person that's in her 20s that had brain cancer as a child and survived it. Monday.
Jenny doesn't
have
long to live, I'm sad to say. But here's the story that I want to tell you about, because we are doing something different, which is it's a family that is coming on to talk about it. From a 24-year-old son to a sister who's going to be riding her bike across the United States to raise money for brain cancer. My grandfather died from a brain tumor. Very little research has been done on this issue, i.e. Valerie Harper.
There are so many people that have this.
This is why I want to do this, and I want to raise money for this, because the problem is that so many people have it, and they're just the funding for it. It was not sexy to put money into research into brain tumors. It became sexy to raise money for, you know, breast cancer. Okay, great. We pretty much conquered that. It's now a chronic disease
more than
anything.
Yeah, you know, because,
so this
you know,
is why, and here's what my idea is, Marcia. This is why I want to talk to you about it.
Right.
I want somebody like you on your show to mention the fact that we're doing this, and we're going to send out a blitz to all of the Blog Talk Radio hosts to say something on their show and to say, please give money, and here's where you can go to give the money.
Yeah, if you just send it to me, I'll put it out too. You know, I was a president of a cancer group and for Northwestern Evanston Hospital and years ago. And you know what? Honestly, there's so many forms of cancer, and brain cancer is devastating because it just changes.
Well, there is no cure.
There's
no cure. And there are things that Jenny could have been treated for in all of this, but she can't get into the study because they're not getting past being in study stages. This is nutty stuff. This is absolutely nutty. And my grandfather died in 1950, and virtually nothing has been done in the arena of brain cancer.
Why can't she get into the studies?
Because you have to meet certain criteria, because there's not enough money to fund people getting into it. I mean, please.
Oh, really?
It's the whole story.
That's
what I'm telling everybody.
Okay.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
What is that?
Send it to me, I'll be happy to, because
The show is going to be Wednesday the 10th. It's the Mulligan family.
Yeah.
Jenny, the husband, the sister, a child, the pastor, and the doctor is going to be on as
The doctor's going to come in? The doctor.
Right. So
he's probably upset about the funding. I'm sure he is upset about the funding.
Well, I don't know. I haven't talked to him yet. I'll let you know what he thinks. But, I mean, it's a wonderful concept.
I was in the medical field for years, and you know what? They need to have funding for a lot of things, and this is one of them, because it's very common now, and it's a very devastating.
Well, look, if they put their minds to it, look what they've done with breast cancer, which really is a chronic disease for so many now, rather than a killer. And if they can do that, then taking that same model that Susan Komen did, which is what Jenny's sister is doing now.
Or Lynn Sage in Chicago. You know, I have a breast cancer show once a year, because a lot of my friends have had breast cancer. So I have it once a year during October, a show about breast cancer. And a lot of young people are getting it now that don't have mammograms. You know, I mean, yes, these are issues that we should. I do have shows like that because I believe in talking about that. So
thing that would be unique here is if we could get every Blog Talk Radio host just donated a dollar. That's like over $55,000.
Well, I know. They do need it. It's so expensive. Research is, really need it.
Well, this is called, we were talking about Blog Talk Radio being a social network, and this is how, you know, from occasion, I'd like to see this used. So,
I agree with you. I think this is definitely.
Yeah. Wednesday, I think it's right. Wednesday's the 10th of April at 3
p.m.
That's
going to be tough.
The Haley Castor Jane show.
I was watching.
Well, I was at her wedding.
I was watching Valerie Harper on TV the other day, and, you know, I mean, her husband, he looks like he's exhausted. She has so much energy still, and she's out there talking, and she's trying to make it where people understand that you can try to get help, and maybe she's hoping to be a miracle. Maybe she will be. She said
I think everybody does, and that's one of the questions I want to ask Jenny about, because she elected to go through treatment, which can maybe, you know, and hope that it'll take her where it needs to go. But see, my thing is this. that's great that a Valerie Harper celebrity takes that celebrity power that she has and goes out and presents it. But I think a lot of that is people are watching that and going, oh, well,
I know.
When you talk to somebody like Jenny Mulligan, who is a mom of five and a real person that this whole thing is happening to, yikes.
It's a very unreal situation, and it's just, you know.
It can happen next door,
yeah.
and it can happen to you.
It is, you know what, I really, all kidding aside of everything, this is the truth. This is so horrible. There are so many people that are so sick. That's why you have to enjoy your life and do all these things, and you have to help people. So I do think that this is a good idea. So if you certainly
we'll send you
it,
over. We will. We'll send you everything over there.
I mean, I have heard so many people with brain cancer lately. It's devastating because it is something that they're having a lot of trouble working through. You know, I mean, like you said,
well, here's the good news.
Hello? Oops. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, yeah, are you on? Yeah.
I am.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I have no idea. Okay, go ahead. Okay.
I was going to say, if we can elevate this conversation, we can do the same thing here as we did with breast cancer. So
I agree.
You know, it's
I'm
the moment. I think
help.
It's the moment for whatever. So anyway,
it's going to be a really good show. It's good that you have the doctor on. I think that's a very good thing.
Yeah, he'll put his two
cents
in.
It's nice of him to come on. Not all doctors would come on. That's very nice.
Right.
You know, I've had a lot of people in my family die of cancer, and. So I want people to not die of cancer, that's for sure. All right, so let's leave this on a better way, though. Okay, so but we're going to, you know, I'm going to help you with that. Well, you know, because, you know, listen, I am affected like everybody else, you know.
Sure. I just think, you know, radio is such an interesting medium, and I just think this is such a great,
I think it
positive
is
way to use it to get people
I agree
to
with
hear.
You. Yes, I agree.
And by the way, this is not a sad story. This is the most inspiring story. When you hear really what's going on with this group and what they're carrying on, it's a trip.
Yeah,
it is a trip. I mean, it is just an extraordinarily uplifting story.
Yeah. I think when anybody is coming out to talk about it, it's incredible. I mean, it is because not everybody would do it, but it is good that people do come out and talk because we need that. I mean, that's what we really need.
Right,
reality. You know, I think people sometimes we're having a hard time in this country going, what's real, what's not real. This is real, okay, and this can happen to anybody. You're right, anybody's family.
In a matter of
moments, you're devastated and everything changes.
Right. I'm laughing because, like, we've talked about the Holocaust.
We've done everything.
These are not my shows. I also do Charlie Matthau.
Yeah,
we do great shows
on
chocolate and on sex. We do shows.
Listen, you know, I am one person that likes to try a lot of different kinds of things. I've done a lot of different kind of shows. I've written children's books. I have a romance series out now. I mean, this is what we do. You know, I find life very interesting, and I don't want to stay and be the exact same. You know, I like to change a lot. You know, my husband is used to me already because I do these things.
How long have you been married?
A long time. Long time. And many, many
years. You're not going to give us the number?
No, because nobody knows my age. No.
It's the radio. Nobody could ever know, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a long time. But, you know, and the thing is, though, it's, you know, because I was married very young, and really the truth. But I do like to change things up a little. I'm very, you know, I look at a room, I want to change it. You know, I want to do this, or I want to do that. So I change my writing style, or I try new things. I like to. Because, you know,
no, I think,
fun.
Why not? Listen, you only come by this way once. That's my theory.
Life is to be gulped, not sipped.
Do you hear me? Life is to be gulped, not sipped.
I know.
And I really believe that. So there isn't anything that I haven't done.
You're incredible. Not only are you a good interviewer, you're just a good talker. And you talk about all the subjects. And you've got the right person here because I have done a lot of things because I am so interested in a lot of things. I am. I just think it makes for a better, you know, life when you are more interested in things, because I really like to learn a lot of things, you know, and I am learning. Like you, I can't surpass, you have a lot going on. So I will definitely, if you send it to me, I'll post it for you.
I appreciate
we'll talk
that.
About
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's
right,
my thing.
It's weird because Virginia
thing.
Is having a show Monday, so I'll talk to her about that.
Right.
On that. But all right, so do you want to just give people your last, you know, your website, just where they can find everything about
it? I'm Hallie Kasser Jane. They can find me at Hallie Kasser-Jane.com, and it's Hallie Kasser Jane, no hyphen, on Facebook, and it's Hallie CJ on Facebook. And honestly, if you go to Hallie Kasser Jane, you can find everything. It's Hallie Kasser, Kasser-Jane. You can find anything and what you don't want to know about me, and you can learn all about my crazy world and the things that I do and the shows that are whatever are coming.
But you do, yes, and you have great shows. You know, and it's interesting. Like, you have your name, the three, and my name is really always, it's been Marcia Cook, and I thought, oh, when I first did my first book, I thought, oh, this is a cute idea. Maybe I'll put Casper in there, because that was my maiden name, and I'm thinking, okay, fine. And so then I just put it in. I figured, okay. And then all of a sudden, that's what now everybody calls me. And I'm going like, I really am Marcia Cook. I'm going like, I didn't intend that to be happening. You know.
I love it. By the way, your accent is cracking me up. I hope my sister and her family live outside of Chicago. They were raised there with my nieces and nephews.
You feel like
and
that
I
one?
Just said that. Yeah, because it's Haley. They call me Aunt Haley, like you call me Aunt Haley.
Yes. Do you feel like I don't feel like when I listen to people
you don't
Chicago,
hear it.
I know you're right.
It's there. Trust me. It's charming.
Right.
It's absolutely
right, thank
charming.
You. All right. Thank you.
As you are, Marcia.
You,
I can't thank you enough for having me on.
Oh, this has been fun. All right. Thank you so much, and thank you to all our listeners. And I'll be posting it for you.
All right, Marcia.
And
you have a good one.
Have a good weekend. Thank you.
You
bye-bye.
Too, darling. Bye bye.
Bye bye.